We're so excited to have Pastor Mark here to give the message this morning, and we really appreciate all of our pastors that have come forth here, and all the people have come up in front of this microphone to share with us. Let's have a word for Pastor Mark right now, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our dear pastor that leads this flock, Lord, and Father, we just ask you just anoint his lips this morning with the words that you have given him for this group. We thank you so much for all these men that have come forth here in our church to desire to learn more of you, Father, and to pray for the needs of our church. And we thank you so much that you put that on our hearts, Lord, and we ask that you continue to bless this endeavor, Lord, in the future. So, Father, we just ask right now that you just you'd be a pastor as he comes forth and that we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hey, you know, I've got some really great news, and I was sharing with the brothers here at the table that the dinosaurs on the 10 freeway going out to Palm Springs, they got saved. Hallelujah. Yeah. Some Christians bought those dinosaurs. And they're teaching creation inside those dinosaurs, and they're actually going to open the second dinosaur and put a maze in there, and they're going to have homeschoolers and Christian schools come out and teach them creation out there. Isn't that just beautiful? Praise the Lord. Another victory for Jesus, you know. Well, today I wanted to speak to you about becoming more righteous men. If you remember, there was a song on the radio a while back that said, I want to be a more righteous man. I want to follow you if I can. And that song always just got to me, you know. I said, yeah, Lord, that's what I want. And I know that all of you do too. I want to talk about that today, because actually the way we do that is to pursue Jesus the more. That's the way that happens. We might tend to want to think that it comes through more activity or trying this and trying that. No, it comes through the pursuit of Jesus Christ. And as we pursue him, then you see the righteousness is a byproduct of that, becoming a more righteous man. So I'd like to look at some scripture with you about that today. And let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. I'm just going to go ahead and read this verse to you, and then I'd like to pray again and ask God to break his bread of life to us, and agree with Gary on that. So let's just read verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 1. It says, of him, that is of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, number one, wisdom. God has made Jesus Christ to us wisdom. And it says, and righteousness. How do I become a more righteous man? I get that from Jesus, because God has made Jesus righteousness for me. And sanctification, which the NIV translation is holiness. How do I get into holy living? Well, God has made Jesus Christ my sanctification, my holiness. And redemption, or the purchasing of me. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him always just glory in the Lord, because Jesus does it all. And Jesus is the one, as we pursue him, that brings these things into our lives. Now, let's go ahead and pray. So, Father, we thank you for this list right here, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification or holiness, and redemption. And, Lord, we thank you that you are these things to us, because that's what God has done. He's made you to be for us these things. And so, Lord, we pray now that you would just speak to us about each one. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. First of all, I'd like to talk to you about wisdom. Wisdom is freely available to all of us. The Bible says, as we know in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it liberally. In the dictionary, as you look up the word wisdom, from the original Noah Webster dictionary, now, it's sad, but as things have been secularized during the years, the definitions aren't the same in the dictionary anymore. But I looked in the original dictionary in a library, big old fatso dictionary that sat on a rotating thing, and it said, wisdom, that which comes from God. That which comes from God. That's the definition of wisdom. And of course, who came from God? The only begotten Son, Jesus, came from God, and He is our wisdom. I'd like to turn to Proverbs 8 with you on this, on wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. Now, Proverbs chapter 8 is all about wisdom. The whole chapter is about wisdom. It's actually wisdom speaking to us. And it, as we read here in verse 11 of chapter 8 of Proverbs, it says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Actually, they tell us that rubies are more valuable than diamonds even. And here we're told in the Word of God that wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired, everything in the world that we might desire, are not to be even compared to wisdom. And so we read in verse 12 then, that this chapter is about wisdom. I, wisdom, we're being addressed by wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And prudence means good judgment. And find out knowledge of witty inventions, that's the King James, which actually is better translated, possesses knowledge and discretion. Discretion is acting carefully with your choices, just to be discreet and to go ahead and make good choices, acting with knowledge and carefully. And so wisdom is speaking to us in this chapter with the good judgment, the discretion, the knowledge that comes from wisdom, that which comes from God. But at the same time, in a prophetic way, the way God does it, Jesus is speaking to us too, because God has made Jesus our wisdom. And we begin to read in verse 27, and we can begin now to see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us. "When He," that is when God, "prepared the heavens, I was there." Oh, we know He was there, don't we? He was there big time. And He says, "When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him." I love the NIV on this. "I was the craftsman at His side." I was the craftsman at His side. That's what the NIV says. I love that because the Bible tells us that the worlds were made through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there He is. And then it says, "And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." Can you picture that just for a minute? There's the Father, and the Son is before Him. And the Father's delight is just in the Son, and the Son and the Father rejoicing always together. And it goes on to say then in verse 31, "Rejoicing in the habitable parts of His earth, and My delights were with the sons of men." So the Father delighting in the Son, and the Son delighting in the Father, and Jesus actually delighting in you and me. Wow. I love that truth. Jesus really likes me. You know, sometimes we might feel alone or separated or whatever. But God is looking at us with this great delight, and we're not alone. I remember when I was in second grade, walking down my hill, I can picture it in my mind now, towards my house on Silver Strand in Hermosa Beach. And I was talking to like a little imaginary friend. And you hear about kids having imaginary friends that they talk to. And you know, I remember thinking this so vividly. I wish you were real. It's so neat to talk to you. I wish you were real. He is real. Our imaginary friend is the lover of our souls. And He walks with us and He talks with us. And I just didn't know who it was yet. But in fourth grade in Sunday school, I found out. It's Jesus delighting in me and I in Him. Now the Lord Jesus says this, "Now therefore hearken unto Me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep My ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears Me, watching daily at my gates. Watching daily at his gates. Waiting on the Lord at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life. Of course, we connect the New Testament scripture with that. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. So he who finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all they that hate me actually love death. They love death when they hate Jesus. And so we love Jesus. And we wait daily at his doors and his gates to hear what he has to say. He's speaking to us. Years ago, there was a lady that, when I was first in the ministry, used to visit her. She was a shut-in at the church where I served. Her name was Alice Groth. She was 93 years old, and I was in my early 20s at the time. And I go to her apartment in Long Beach and visit with her with another brother, and she was something else, man. I tell you, we used to look forward to go visit Alice because she loved Jesus so much. And we would come in, and she'd always be talking about Jesus Christ and saying, you know, in the afternoon, when the wind comes up, out, it was kind of an area where the Queen Mary is now, and it comes through my window, and sometimes my curtains stand straight out with the wind of the Lord. And, I mean, she would just bless us with all this encouragement. You know how people like that are. They never have anything bad to say, you know. Just all the time encouraging you. And it's just so edifying. And one day she said to me, she said, Mark, she said, every day when you get up, rest your elbows on the windowsill of heaven and look into the face of Jesus, and you're going to have a better day. Oh, wow. That always stuck with me, you know. And so this is the scripture that really backs that up. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And we find him, and we find that life. He is our wisdom. Amen? Okay, let's go to the next word, righteousness. Jesus, God has made Jesus first wisdom to us. Number two, righteousness. And with this, we'd like to just quote a couple of scriptures first. Part of the armor of God is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put that on. Now, it also says in the Bible, Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the breastplate of righteousness. It's like putting on a garment. The Greek word there for putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is the word that's just like you would put on your coat this morning when you came out. You put him on. And so he becomes a breastplate that's actually attached or put on as part of the armor of God. We ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, to be there and be in us. He says, I will come and I will make my abode. My Father and I will come and make our abode, our dwelling place, with you and in you. And we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he comes in that way. Now let's turn to Isaiah 54:17 on this. Isaiah 54:17. Now Isaiah 54:17 says this. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. I am so glad for that last part of that verse. Aren't you glad? You think, man, it really would be nice if no weapon that's formed against me would prosper. Lord, that would really be nice. Who does this apply to, Lord? King David? Chuck Smith? Billy Graham? Who's this apply to? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. But Lord, I don't know if I'm really righteous enough to be your servant. And their righteousness is of me. He's the righteous one, not me and not you. But as we give our lives over to him, he becomes our righteousness, and he sees us through righteous glasses. and he sees the finished product that he's working on, like the song we sang today. He who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's the one that creates righteous living inside you and I. We cannot attain to that. Our righteousness in ourselves is as filthy rags. Lord, you wait here, and I'm going to do a bunch of righteous things so that I can measure up. But it's as filthy rags before the Lord. He doesn't mean that in a mean way. It's just the way it is. It's just that we don't have what it takes. But he does, and he imparts that to us through faith in Christ. Their righteousness is of me. So any weapon that will be formed against us, God will take care of that because of what he's done in filling us and accepting us into the Beloved. Praise his holy name. There's another scripture, Isaiah 41:10, that says, "Fear not, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Hallelujah. Psalm 23 says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Jesus. Does anybody know his name? And who knows his son's name? I love that in Proverbs, and we know his son's name. And he leads us in the paths of righteousness. He's so good at leading us. He's so good at guiding us. And through his disciplines, he corrects us. And we're led into the paths of righteousness if we simply say yes to him. If we simply say, "Lord, help us." I love Psalm 37 on this, verses 5 and 6. It says this, "Commit your way unto the Lord." I just do that. That's what I do. That's what you do. We wake up. We wait at his gates, at his doors, and we commit our way to him. "Trust also in him, and he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light." Who's going to do that? He's going to do it. He's going to bring forth your righteousness as the light if you commit your way to him. That's the big one. That's the part. I've got to do that. I've got to remember to do that. If I run off and try to make the decision myself, then it's not going to be filled with righteousness. But if I commit my way to him, "Jesus, I'm committing this to you, Lord. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." That's what King Jehoshaphat said, remember. "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And we commit our ways to him, and he will bring forth your righteousness as the light. The NIV says it's the shining dawn. You ever been up early enough to see the dawn? Well, you guys are men's prayer breakfast guys, so you probably see the dawn. I think Tony says he goes to work early enough probably to watch the dawn as he's driving on the freeway to work. Well, that's how your righteousness is, as you commit your way to him. The next word then is sanctification. Jesus is our sanctification. Now that's also translated NIV, holiness. He's our holiness. I want to be a more righteous man. Lord, I want to live holily before you, to be in holy living. Jesus is who does that in us. He is actually blessed because he delights in us to put us on his conveyor belt. Sanctification is a conveyor belt. It's a lifelong process. Now, the Bible says, as we know, that, and I lost that verse, it's senior moment. But it's a conveyor belt. It's a lifelong process that Jesus was, I wasn't going to say what the Bible says, that bumper sticker, "Please be patient with me, God isn't finished with me yet." Yeah, because he's working. And it takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. He's working, and changing and rearranging. That's what sanctification is. I always like to use the example of making a china doll. You know, these beautiful china dolls that are made with the little red lipstick and the hair and the white face and all. My grandmother used to have one of those. Well, it starts with a block of wood, and that's you. Yeah, blockhead, you know. So, and then the Lord starts his operation. "What are you doing? You're cutting off my head, Lord, here, you know." "No, I'm just working. I'm going to make you into a beautiful work of art, a poema, as it says in the scriptures, the work of art of the Lord. And so that work continues all through my life. Now, who is it that does that? Well, we know it's Jesus. And let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23 for sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm going to really preach big time on this verse this weekend, and I just want to read it to you right now. Now the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And the NIV says there, sanctify you through and through. He's going to work with you through and through until he's done, and the work he's done is good. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants you to know, without a shadow of a doubt, whose work this is. Verse 24 says, faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. Who's going to do it? Jesus. Jesus is going to do it. Thank God. Jesus is our sanctification, and he's going to sanctify, separate us, bring a holiness and a blamelessness into our lives, spirit, soul, and body, and there's nothing left. That's all you are. Your shell is your body, your soul is you, and your spirit was once spiritually dead, but now is alive because of him, and he's working. He's working, 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 working. Faithful is he who called you. He will also do the work. He's going to do the job and bring it to pass. Now, the last word then is that Jesus is our redemption. And redemption very simply means that Jesus gave himself to purchase our salvation. He's the one that made the sacrifice to make the purchase that would buy you back from being sold under sin through Adam. And we read about that in 1 Peter 1:18, and so let's take a look at that. 1 Peter 1:18. This is the one we quote a lot at church, and we quote a lot to each other. It's a wonderful verse. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed or bought back or purchased with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain manner of living received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." He came and lived the perfect life that we cannot live. We don't have the power to do it. And then he gave his life up on that cross to exchange my sin, because he became sin on the cross, for his righteousness. That, brothers, is quite a deal. And we know that to be true. That Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We can put that on a blackboard. Belief in the Lord Jesus and righteousness. And as we then accept the righteousness of Christ, and he begins to flow in and through us and to go ahead and bring us redemption. And so God has made Jesus Christ to be your wisdom. Yes. Your righteousness. Your holiness or sanctification. Your redemption. He's everything. We have songs like that, don't we? He's everything to me. What else is there? You know, Ted has always shared with me, and I loved it. Ted used to teach Sunday school. Shared with me, said, you know, you just ask those kids any question, and if they say Jesus, they're usually right. He's the great I am. He's the great I am. When they came to arrest him, he said, who are you looking for? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. They all fell down backwards. And of course, that's what Moses was told at the mount, wasn't he? In the burning bush. Who should I say is sending me, Lord? Said Moses. And he said, say that I am sending you. So Jesus was saying, I'm God. And what that word I am is in the original Hebrew, it's I am the becoming one, meaning that I'm everything you need. Everything. And so we don't want to spend so much time on thinking, how can I be righteous today by this deed or that deed? No, we spend our time on saying, Jesus, what do you want to do in and through me today? You feel free. And then just watch what righteousness is. As Jesus just lives through us, then we see what righteousness is. Because you know what? We're too dumb to even figure that out. What's the right thing to do? Jesus knows the right thing to do. And he knows when to do it and how to do it. So I say, Lord, I'm yours. I commit my way unto you. And then you, Lord, according to your word, bring forth my righteousness as the morning dawn. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, that that is just so liberating that we don't have to strain our brain or lean on our own understanding to try to figure out how to do it right. Lord, we just need to lean on you and acknowledge you and commit our way unto you. And Lord, thank you, Father, for making it so easy to understand. And even a child, Lord, in fact, it's better to be a child to do this, as you've said in your word, that children, unless we become as a child, we shall not enter the kingdom of God. So thank you, Father, and bless these mighty men of valor. Bless these that you are tickled with. Thank you, Lord, that you delight in each soul here. Your delights are with the sons of men. And Lord, we want to accept that, believe that, and just submit to your work, Lord. And thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, everyone said together, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mark. You know, he was talking about that special person in his life. Ron and I and Gary are involved in the convalescent ministry. And we had a lady like that, too, over at Chapman Harbor. Her name was Dolly. She was 99 years old. And I'm telling you, when you went in that room, we're there to, you know, we would go and we'd have a service there and a message. And then during the message time, we would go to the rooms, to the ones that couldn't get out. And she had rheumatoid arthritis, but she'd be crocheting for her church nursery. 99 years old, still crocheting for the baby nursery on there. And she'd say to us, I don't know why the Lord still has me here. And I says, we know. We get out of the room and say, who blessed who? I'm not kidding you. We come out of the room and I go, what just happened here? You know, here, you know, at 99 years of age, rheumatoid arthritis, can't get out of bed much. And we're the ones getting blessed. She's not complaining. Yeah, she came over from Oklahoma to Texas in a wagon, horse-drawn wagon on there, had scarlet fever when she was young and wasn't expected to live on here. But she was on fire. You talk about a Baptist, on fire Baptist there, and just we were going to celebrate her 99th birthday, and we came in on that in September. This was in September, and she passed away. The neat thing about that is you really know that the Lord is using you and affecting change when you come in and they say, Dolly went home to be with the Lord. They're getting it. 80 and 90 years old, they get it. And that's what we're here for, to be able to affect change in our community and our ministries. Next month, we're going to have Ron be giving the message here. Excited to have him back. And God bless every one of you that have helped put this all together. Like Pastor Mark was saying, it's not us. It's the Lord working through us. So God bless y'all.